just yet. My name's Ryan. I'm the senior pastor here at Christ Covenant Church, and I've just been so for about 7 months, and so we're so excited to be here with you today. For those that were here last week for Father's Day, if this is not your first time, we started last week a brand new series. You can see the slide behind me, called Bulletproof Soul. And really, this is an incredible series for us because throughout this summer, these summer months, we're going to walk through an incredible book in the Bible, the book of Philippians. And we're going to walk through it verse by verse together. And I say this next part not as a joke, but I really think this is a really incredible moment for us because there's probably some adults in the room, if we were just being honest with each other, that you've never read an entire book in the Bible. And so if that's you, what's incredible about this series is if you just show up each and every single week, you would have read an entire book in the Bible, which is something to celebrate because unfortunately, there are far too many Christians, and we're not all Christians in the room, I get that, but there's far too many Christians that have not read much of the Bible, the Word of God. And so this is a great starting point for you as we walk through this little by little. Last week was kind of the introduction to this series, and we only made it through two verses. And so I promise you here today, we'll make it through a few more. But I just want to recap very quickly what we covered last week. If you missed it, you're out of town sick, or if this is your first week here at Christ Covenant, here's my sermon in a sentence, what we covered last week. Hope you're ready for this. If you're taking notes, you should jot this down. Here's what it was. What happens to you doesn't have to control you. I want you to let that sink in. And that's good news today. What happens to you doesn't have to control you. And I even want to put a little bit different spin on that statement just here for today, our purposes. But what happens to you doesn't have to destroy you, which is pretty incredible to think about. Because I just felt like in prayer that there were maybe a few people here this morning in service or those that will listen later on, that if you don't change some things, I just feel like this could be a word for somebody, not in my notes, but just through prayer, that if you don't change some things, what happens to you next will destroy you. And so you've got to change some things to make sure that you start to live the kind of life that God has called you to live. It's a life not filled with emotional roller coaster moments, but it's a life that's secure, steady, faithful. Does anybody want that today? Like a life that is secure in God, that your joy is tied around Him and not the circumstance that you face. What happens to you doesn't have to control you. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to the book of Philippians, where we'll be for the remainder of this series that will lead us through the summer. The book of Philippians, and we're going to still be in chapter 1, this being week 2 of our series, Bulletproof Soul. But we're going to start in verse 3, Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, and we're going to read all the way through verse 11. And if you don't have a Bible app, or maybe you don't have a Bible, and we've got it on the screen, of course, if you're listening live here in person this morning. But Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, here's what God has to say to us. This is the Apostle Paul writing here. He said, "I thank my God." We're going to talk about that in a moment. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." That's important as well. Verse 5, "because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about each of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains," we'll talk about that, "or defending and confirming the gospel, the good news of Jesus, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more." I don't know about you today, but we need more love in the church and outside the church. "That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Verse 10, "so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your holy word, this text, your words to us today. We thank you that we have a guide in front of us showing us how to live and how to move and how to think and how to operate, showing us how to live out the calling that you have on our lives. And so I just pray for my friends today, those listening live in this room and those who listen on our website later on, I pray for each of them that they would hear from you, a good, awesome, incredible Father, our spiritual Father, that God, they would hear your voice, that you would speak to their hearts. And I pray that each of us right now would remove any barriers, any obstacles that we've built up that would stop us from hearing from you. I pray that you would unplug our ears, that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see. And I pray for every single one of us that we would leave this place different than the way that we came in, not because of a man, not because of a great worship team, not because it's a friendly group of people, but that we would leave changed because we met with God today. May that be us. Have your way in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen with me. Amen. Man, I know it's summer and I know we're going to the pool, we're going on vacation, we're seeing Mickey and Disney World or Disneyland. I get all that stuff, but can I preach to you today? Would that be okay if I got a little passionate? Would anybody say that's okay? Can I get some feedback this morning? Like, can I preach a little bit? I'm ready to go. I got my white hanky, okay? And it's going to be good. I joke all the time because really, again, been here 7 months and I'm just trying to, you know, build a culture here. And I want a culture where you're louder than me. Like you're just preaching back to me. Now in good moments, okay? Not like when you shouldn't, but like if something was good and just got you, it's okay to say amen. It's okay. If you got a white hanky like me, you can wave it. If you want to say, preach it, white boy, you could say that too. Like, whatever you want to do, but like, let's participate together. And I promise you this, the sermon will go a lot faster if you do it that way. I promise you this, that you'll get more out of it. Like, it's just the truth. Like, God will do something if you'll kind of be activated. Just pretend like you're at an Astros game during the World Series. Just do that and we'll be good. Ouch, sorry. All right, number one, if you're taking notes, we're going to walk through those verses that we just read together. We believe this around here. Note takers are history makers, so I'd encourage you to take notes in church. Here's the first thought. The secret to happiness is thankfulness. The secret to happiness is thankfulness. Where'd you pull this out of? It's verse 3. I'll read it again. I thank my God, this is Apostle Paul writing, every time I remember you. I thank my God. For those that weren't here last week or you're brand new this week, we shared that the Apostle Paul, he is writing this letter to the group of Philippians, the church there in the city of Philippi. He's writing this letter from a very interesting place. He's not at some Starbucks, not on some prayer retreat. He's actually in jail as he writes this. And we find out, not only is he in jail, but he's in jail and he shouldn't be in jail. You may be wondering, well, what did this guy do? I mean, he wrote a book in the Bible. Like, how did he get his book in here if he's in jail? He wasn't a smuggler, okay? He didn't have like a really bad Saturday night where he just lost it and he got a little too drunk on that good wine back then and did something crazy like wrecked his chariot. That didn't happen, okay? Like, he's in jail because he was preaching Jesus. That's why he's in jail. So he's wrongly accused, you could say. And we found out not only that, it gets better. He's in jail, and the most likely outcome is that he's going to die in that jail. So essentially, he is writing this letter to the Philippians in prison chains on death row. Yet, after the first two verses, what we read last week, which were the introduction, his first four words are, I thank my God. Let that sink in for a moment. if you were on death row, wrongly accused, those would not be your first four words. In fact, we could even say them in church because there would be some language that would not be appropriate. But yet the Apostle Paul, he starts out first four words, I thank my God. I don't know about y'all today, but I can learn something from that kind of attitude. He realized a secret that we've got to get wrapped around us. In fact, he realized something that will help us have a bulletproof vest for our soul. Hence the name of the series, what happens to you doesn't have to destroy you. And that scenario would destroy most people. Wrongly accused, shouldn't be there. God, I was working for you, but yet that's where he is. I thank my God. What an incredible attitude that he displayed. I want to get a little serious for just a second here because I think it's helpful for us. But if you've been around the church for a little while, you've heard me share this story. In fact, I shared it before I even came on to be the senior pastor here. And so I'm just going to want to pull back the veil and share personally, my wife and I, something we went through. But we have a five-year-old son named Luke, and I talk about him all the time. He loves Legos and candy. That's all you need to know. That's our boy, and we love him. And we got pregnant with him like really early on in like our marriage. Like literally, the pregnancy test went positive like a month and a half or so after we got married. And there was a youth camp in between there. So if that didn't happen, it probably would have happened sooner. I'm just saying. So that was us. So we got pregnant right away when we got married. We had our son, but unfortunately, and this is where I pulled back the veil. What happened in our life, and I've shared this before, unfortunately, the next several years as we kept trying to have another baby, we saw far too many negative pregnancy tests. We saw far too many moments where we were hoping that we would get pregnant again, because we got pregnant so easy that first time, and we struggled for years with infertility, not being able to get pregnant again. And eventually, and we've shared this, that we did get pregnant, but unfortunately, we went through a devastating miscarriage. And far too many people in this room, if statistics show us anything, I think it's like one out of four, far too many have experienced something like that. And it was devastating for us. For those that have went through a miscarriage, you understand. That just knocks you on your back. It's gut-wrenching. And the reason why I share that is because I just remember, and I'll never forget, then we went through that, we cried so much. It was the hardest thing we've ever been through together as a family, as a couple. And in that moment, as we got knocked on our back, we just remember so vividly that we had to make a decision to continue to walk in thankfulness and in joy. Like we had to make a decision. That sounds weird to people, but we had to decide, make a choice. Because here's what we didn't want to happen. We didn't want to be upset and angry at God and all of this kind of stuff for years until we eventually had that baby. Like, we didn't want to be in a bad mood until all of a sudden, boom, we got that new baby. No. We didn't want to whine and complain. Oh, God, you're so, this is just horrible. I thought you were good. And then all of a sudden we have a baby. Oh, God, you're good again. Like, we didn't want to do that. And really, can I get deeper than that? God doesn't want that kind of life for us. That's a life that the joy is dictated by the circumstance and not God. And so we made a decision, and it was hard. Can I be honest with you? We're in church. Can I take off the mask? Like, it was difficult. It was hard. It was not easy. I had to preach every single week, sometimes multiple times a week. And I was like God's man of power for the hour. It was hard. And on the inside, we're hurting, and it was not an easy thing. But God hasn't called us to do easy things. He's called us to do the right things. So we made a decision, and we weren't perfect. Don't put me on some pedestal just because I'm on a platform, okay? My past, I've got some skeletons in my closet, okay? Like I've made mistakes. I've got sin. I'm human, okay? Don't put me on something. I make mistakes. We were not perfect. But we tried our best to be thankful. Say, God, whether you give or take away, you are good. And we are settled in that. And that's what God wants for you. And honestly, don't you want that too? A life that's not up and down? A life that's not good one day and bad the next? Don't you want a life that's solid and secure? And it's what God has for you. And thankfulness is a secret It's a secret if you want to live and operate with joy. Number two, the second thing we learn from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, is get ahead by going last. Get ahead by going last. We see this in verses 4 through 5. I'll read them again. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, Paul, he's got humanity just like all of us, but it's, again, an incredible example for us. If it was me writing this text, me writing this letter, if I was just honest, I think most of my letter would consist on making sure you do this for me. Like, make sure you're praying for me. I'm in here for Jesus. Like, make sure. Like, don't get too busy, like, going on vacation and having fun. Can y'all fast and pray for me? Like, I'm here. I shouldn't be here. Like, that would be me. But yet, Paul, he's got the right attitude, the right heart. And he says, you know what? I want you to know that not only am I thankful to God, not only am I thinking of you and you're on my heart, but every time I pray for you, notice you, not me. Every time I pray for you, I'm filled up with joy. You can go visit some people in prison and there's usually not a lot of joy there. But yeah, that's where the Apostle Paul was at. Man, when I think about you, when I pray for you, this joy I cannot contain. What was the Apostle Paul doing? He was getting ahead by going last. He was putting them first. And here's the problem I have with us adults, okay? Let me pick on us for a second. We get so upset when we see selfish little kids. Like, it just irks us when he wants the cookie first and she won't share. Don't you know what Barney says? Sharing is caring. Come on. Look at your act together, right? We get upset at kids. But I don't know about you, but I know a lot of 20, 30, 40, 50, I keep going, years old, that are selfish. That everything they do is about me, myself, and I, that I'm successful. So let's stop pointing fingers and let's just be real. That we have a problem with this. I'm not saying you, we have a problem with this, but the Apostle Paul, it's just like screaming off the page that we've got to change our attitudes, that we're thinking about others more than we're thinking about ourselves. Well, Pastor Ryan, you don't understand. My marriage is falling apart and my kids are away from God. You don't understand. I deserve that promotion and they got it instead. You don't understand. I know I don't understand, but the Apostle Paul was in pretty bad shape too. And he still was thinking about them and others, and he got ahead by going last. We got to get this in our heart. We got to get this in our mind. I don't know if you've ever been in this scenario before, but I was thinking about this. But of course, we got little kids. I just talked about them, and I got a 5-year-old, and now we have an almost 7-month-old daughter, Nora. It's a blessing, answer to prayer for us, and so we're excited about that. But we find ourselves in situations, and maybe you found yourself in something like this. But I don't know if you've ever taken a kid to another kid's birthday party. Have you ever done that before? It ain't pretty, I'll just say it. And our son, he's awesome, but he's really great. He got a great heart, and he teaches us things all the time. But we've done that before, and it's just amazing to see one kid getting all the presents and all the other kids watching that one kid get all the presents. It's like tough, you know? It's like nails on a chalkboard. It is. It's not an easy thing. And so I get it. I sympathize with you. When you should have got a promotion and they didn't, that hurts. I'm not saying it shouldn't hurt. What I am saying is that we've got to take a step back for a moment and realize it's not really about us, but it's about others. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have. We can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul. And I was looking around, man, what would be a great example of somebody putting others first? And I was scouring, I was doing just like you do. I was Google searching, just figuring out, like, what could I use to show this? Because it's really rare. It's really rare to see an adult, a young adult or adult, put other people first at their own detriment. That's a very rare thing to see. But I came across this video, and we're going to show it here in just a second. Quick clip. I came across this video, and some of you will remember this when it happened live. It was 10 years ago, 2008, and it was a Division II women's softball game. And at that softball game, it was the most amazing display of selflessness, putting someone else first, but not just putting them first, but at the expense of your own self. And so I want you to put your eyes to the screen and watch this quick video.
The last Saturday in April, the second game of a softball doubleheader between Central Washington and Western Oregon.
Well, we were both neck and neck fighting for the conference championship.
As a senior, this was Sarah Tucholsky's last chance to win a championship. She'd never hit a home run before, not in college, not in her life. But in the top of the second inning, with two runners on the second pitch, that changed.
I hit that pitch and it just went.
And we're just cheering, and the runners are cheering as they round the base to head home. And then I'm going, where's Sarah?
In her excitement, Tucholsky failed to touch first base, so she quickly turned back.
Her pivoting leg just didn't pivot with her. And I heard her kind of yell, and she just dropped to the ground, and I was like, oh no. Just fell immediately and was in a lot of pain. Just, you know, I tried to keep my leg straight, but I was in so much pain that I couldn't really keep still.
Tucholsky, with a torn ACL, crawled back to first base. She was a long way from reaching home plate and keeping her first and only home run.
When she got back to first base, she laid there and she hugged on to first base. And then I was staring at the base and I go, what on earth are we gonna do?
And I turned the umpire standing right next to me. I said, what is the ruling if I put somebody in for Sarah? He said, it'll be a two-run single.
That was the problem. None of Tucholsky's teammates were allowed to touch her. That's when Central Washington's Mallory Holtman, a player with more home runs than any other in conference history, a player for the opposing team, spoke up.
I went to the home plate umpire and asked if we could pick her up and carry her, and he looked at me a little strange.
And the umpire went and said, yes, you can do that. I'm still standing there in shock. I said, thank you so much.
We asked her, she's like, is it okay if we pick you up and carry you around the bases?
And I say yes, and you know, and say thank you. And she says, you hit the ball over the fence, you deserve it.
For that reason only, because she deserved it, Holtman and Liz Wallace began to carry the injured Tucholsky, stopping to touch her left foot on each base as the three made their way around the diamond.
When I looked up, I didn't see, you know, giant like smiles and screams. I saw emotion and tears and people crying.
It's a great moment when someone has character to step up and do the right thing at the right time.
Isn't that incredible? What an amazing, you can clap, sign of sportsmanship. I know some of you remember just like I do, actually experiencing that live. At the game, just a Division II women's softball game, at the game live, there was less than 100 people. But it just, once it caught, like people caught wind of it, it just caught fire and it went viral, and just incredible how God used that moment. Those two girls that carried her around, they won all kinds of awards. And actually the one who had the idea to carry her around now coaches that same team. It's just incredible what God has done. I think they won an ESPY for it, and it's an amazing moment what took place there. And I just think it's another great example for us that we would have that kind of heart and that kind of attitude. So I just want to make a commitment, just friend to friend today. Well, we haven't met yet. Well, let's be friends after service. Let's meet and let's hang out a bit. But let me make a commitment to you, and I hope you'll make the same commitment to me, that I'm going to champion what happens in your life. I make a commitment to you, just Christian to Christian or just person to person, that when good things happen for you, I'm not going to get jealous, but I'm going to applaud them. Can we make a commitment together today that when you succeed, I'm being serious. Like, when you succeed and things happen good for you, even if I'm in the middle of some mess, I'm going to celebrate you. I'm going to champion you. I'm on your side, just like God is on your side. And if you'll return the favor, we'll change this city, because they'll see something different on the inside of us. That's a group of people that they don't compare, they don't compete, but they celebrate. Come on, somebody, when God does something good. What's the Apostle Paul say? He's saying that when you're blessed, I'm blessed. And every parent in the room or grandparent gets that. Think about Christmas morning or whenever you open up presents. It's better for your kid or grandkid to open up presents than for you to get one, right? It's way better for you. At Christmas, I get a couple of presents because I'm an adult now, and my son gets like $50 million from his grandparents. And that's really not much of an exaggeration, okay? Like, he's spoiled by them. I think that's just in the job description, isn't it? Like, grandparent, you just have to spoil just a little bit. And he gets that. And never once, and I am not a perfect person. If you know me, you know that. But never once have I folded my arms and said, what did he do to earn those presents? He cost me so much money. You know, I found out that, like, you spend in a lifetime, on average, $1 million per kid. That's depressing right there, I'm just saying. But never once was it like, I cannot believe that he got 20 presents and I got 3. Cannot believe. No. The best part is watching him be blessed and him be happy. And that should be our hearts. What an example from God's word for you and for me. The last point, number 3, God finishes what he starts. So thankful. God finishes what he starts. I'm going to read to you verse 6. We see this actually through the rest of the verses, 6 through 11. But I'll read verse 6. It's one of those famous verses in Philippians. There's a lot of them. Being confident of this, that he, talking about God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion. I don't know if I have any friends today that you can relate to me on this, but I'm a little bit notorious for starting things and not finishing them. I don't know if we have anybody that you can say, yeah, that's me too. And I've noticed this about my life, but I'm just being real, that having a family of my own, like wife and kids, it's brought out a lot of my weaknesses. Like, it's shown me just how impatient I am. It showed me how selfish I really can be. And not just that, but one of my greatest weaknesses that I've championed many times from this platform is that I cannot fix things. I'm not a Mr. Fix-It. I am the anti-Bob the Builder. Can he fix it? No, he can't. Okay, that's me. Some of you that don't have kids, you didn't understand what anything I just referenced there. You look it up. But like, that's just me. Like, and this is honestly, this is the truth, but I can barely even hang a picture. That's just, it's embarrassing, but it's just, and now it's like in my head, right? It's just, you know, you get the yips in like sports. I got the yips when it comes to trying to fix things. It's just not me. And so I've got so many examples for you of how I've started something and didn't finish it. I think back to our last home in Dallas where we're from, and I remember that one of the door handles on our refrigerator, we had a nice refrigerator, stainless steel, one of the door handles broke off, and it took me weeks to get it fixed. So think about it, we went weeks without a handle to be able to get in to half of our fridge. It's not a good deal. I remember many moments, and if you're here back in April, some of you were, I shared this story with my son it was 2 birthdays ago. He got this massive Lego set, this Bat Cave. Yeah, y'all remember some of you that, and I wouldn't even let us open it until a week after his birthday. Isn't that messed up? Like, not dad of the year, I get it. But like, I just knew it was going to take me so long to put it together. Like, I'm notorious for this. Last example, I got one more that I'll tell you down the road, but I haven't had enough healing yet, so I got to wait a little bit longer. It involves putting together a trampoline, and my wife knows what I'm talking about, but I'll get to it down the road. You'll enjoy it, but it'll be painful for me. But another one, I remember coming here from Dallas to Houston 7 months ago, you know, of course, packed everything up. And during that time, we actually lost it for a little bit, found it when we got back. But we found these DVDs that I had borrowed from a friend years ago. Years ago. And I had tried every few months because it was like a DVD set, a TV show. And they're like, hey, you should watch this. You can borrow it. I'm like, great. And I only got through a couple, maybe three or four of them. And I think there was 10 total. So every few months throughout the years, I would say, hey, I'm not finishing this. Can I give it back to you? Because I don't like to hold on to things. I don't think that's a good deal for us to do. So I was, can I get back? And they're like, no, it's okay. We've already watched it. And so they kept giving it back to me. And so literally years later during the move, I finally said, I'm not going to finish this. And so we mailed it back to them in Dallas. Still incomplete, by the way. But that's just who we are sometimes, right? We're good starters, but we're really bad finishers. But God doesn't roll that way. God's a good starter, but he's a good finisher too. God is so good that way that whatever he promised you when you were younger, that blessing that you're holding on to, I know it hasn't landed in your lap yet, but it's a coming, baby, because God finishes what he starts. He's a promise keeper. They bring him in the ninth inning, y'all, like he closes the deal. He's a closer. He finishes what he begins. I know you're a work in progress like me. I know you don't have everything figured out like I don't, but God will finish what he's begun in you. Pastor Ryan, I'm thinking about giving up. Don't give up because God hasn't given up on you. I just felt like this was a word for somebody, and maybe write this down if you feel like this is for you. But I just felt like somebody needed to hear today that God is working in the waiting. I just felt that. God's working in the waiting. It's behind the scenes, but he's still working. One last illustration, and we're early, so don't worry about time. One last illustration, and gotta be real with you. This will probably land more with the ladies in the room, so it just is what it is. But guys, hopefully you'll get the point too. But you'd have to be living under a rock to not hear at least a little bit about Duchess Meghan and Prince Harry. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Like, even if you don't want to hear, like, you just would have to be like not on the internet to hear what's going on with them. They got married back on May 19th. And still past the wedding, they're everywhere. And if I just could be real, it's become a little bit annoying for me. Just me. I'm sure they're great people. Never met them. No, they're not perfect, just like I'm not. But I'm sure they're great. So it's not them. They have no control over that. But like for me, it's a little bit much. Even before the wedding and during, and then now still like over a month after, just like everywhere, like any news feed, Facebook, it was there. this hurts my heart, but I thought I had a safe place and it was ESPN. It even made it on ESPN. Guys, you feel me? Like, I thought I had a place to go to that, like, it was just safe, and it's just not. And it was there. Like what athletes went to the, I mean, like, who cares? I almost fell. Who cares? Right? Like, it's just horrible. Like, I don't care if she's, like, breaking royal code because her dress is off the shoulders. Like, doesn't really matter. To me, just speaking of me, like, just doesn't matter. To me, it's just this crazy, crazy, crazy. But I say all that to say this. It was a couple weeks ago that I actually came across an internet meme. Maybe you know what those are. And usually, like, they're funny, and they'll show different pictures and have, like, a little caption. Don't show it yet, guys. Don't show it yet. I'll tell you when. But I came across a little internet meme, and it had a picture of her, I think when she was 15, Duchess Meghan, 15, so not a duchess yet. And it also had a picture of her side by side. And it wasn't funny. I thought it was actually profound. But the picture beside it was on May 19th. Her wedding day. And so I'll show that first picture. So on the left, she's visiting Buckingham Palace, 15 years old, something like that. And on the right, of course, that's a picture you've seen many times all throughout the news. And then here's the caption. I want you to see this. So powerful. I think we have it on the next slide. Maybe yes. No. There we go. One day you're 15 and posing outside Buckingham Palace, and 22 years later, you're marrying the prince. Isn't that powerful? One day, you're a tourist, ready to preach, and the next day, you're a resident. She had no idea when she was 15, what would happen? And I'm not trying to say that God put them to, like, that's not the illustration. The idea is this: you have no idea what God can do in your life. You have no idea. You have no idea that the addiction that's there, man, you're just so caught up on that substance. You have no idea that God can turn that addiction and make you an overcomer. Like, you have no idea that your marriage is so broken and messed up and you just feel like the divorce papers are about to be filed. You have no idea that God's gonna turn it into something beautiful. Don't give up. If you're still breathing, God's not done with you. And hopefully you're breathing today, because if not, we'll end service and we'll help you out, okay? God finishes what he starts. Why don't you bow your heads with me? God, we thank you for this moment. I thank you for a group of people that would let me preach my heart out to them. We thank you for the church that you're building here, where your word is preached. It's not some feel-good little sermonette type deal, but we're walking through your word. We're exegetically moving through, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, passage by passage, and we're seeing you bring to light some golden nuggets, some golden truths. And I just pray for each and every single person underneath the sound of my voice. I pray, first of all, if there's anyone here that they've been tying their joy around success, they've been tying their joy and anchoring it to a earthly relationship, or maybe even to their kids, or maybe even to a best friend or a job or to money, I pray, God, they would unhook that anchor, that they would untie that rope, and instead they would throw it up to you, that their joy would be wrapped around you and no one or nothing else. I pray also for those that, and it's easy for me to get in that category. I can be here, but I pray for those that maybe they're realizing by help of the Holy Spirit that they are selfish. It's all about them and what people can do for them. And I just pray, God, there would be an attitude change, almost like the turning of a dial, that you would turn us from complainers and whiners and just looking for an excuse to vent. But you would turn that dial all the way full up to thankfulness overflowing. It's the secret to having joy that's sustained. It's a barrier for our soul. And I pray lastly for those in this room that, just like me, they realize they're a work in progress. That they're in the middle, they're in the waiting, and it's hard to see you working. That relationship's not like they hoped it would be. That person has stabbed them in the back. They got pushed over and someone else got the promotion that they honestly deserved. It was not justified. Maybe there's a secret addiction there that no one else knows about but them and you. Maybe it's a screen that they're looking at late at night. And that's not just a guy problem. It's a girl problem too. Not just a young problem. It's everybody, every age. Maybe it's a substance. It's alcohol. Maybe it's pills. I don't know what that looks like. But if there's anyone here, they're in a work in progress. It feels like one step forward and two steps back. I pray you just remind them today that you aren't finished yet, but you will finish what you started. That they shouldn't dare give up, because you definitely have not given up on them. You love them and you care about them, and you love them too much to leave them where they're at. May we walk out today just excited and expectant that you're going to help us be overcomers. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I do this every single week because it's so important to us and to God. But I just think it would be a tragedy if I didn't give some people in the room and those listening on our website later on a chance to respond to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit who's tugging on your heart. So please, no one looking but myself, just to honor this moment. It's a safe place. God wants to speak to you. But if there's anyone here that you see your life and you know you're far from him, you see the decisions you've been making, the thoughts you've been thinking, and you just know that there is a distance between you and God. You may not be able to explain it theologically, but you just see it for what it is. And there's a gap and there's a separation between you and Jesus. And if that's you, I've got incredible news for you. That Jesus has already done the work to fix that relationship. He already put in the work. He died on the cross, that's Good Friday, and he rose from the dead, that's Easter Sunday, and you were on his mind. He loves you, he cares about you. You cannot earn your way to heaven, hear me, friend. You cannot earn your way to heaven. Church attendance won't do it. Tithing won't do it. Being a good person won't do it. Only accepting God's free gift of grace and the sacrifice that he made for you. That's the only way. But you got to receive it. Just like any good gift, it's extended to you, but you still have to have your hands open and receive it. So I want to give you a chance to do that for the first time, or maybe you need like a recommitment moment. And that's okay too. So no one looking but myself. If you're here today, I'm not going to make you stand, not going to make you come to the front or some room. Nothing wrong with those things. But God can deal with you right in your seat. So right where you're seated, if you see your life and you're far from him, but you want to make things right, you want to commit your life to him, can you just lift up your hand? I see it. You can put it down. Anybody else? I see it. You can put it down. God is so good. Anybody else? I see it. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? You can put it down. God is so good. God is so good. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. You don't know what happens next. Jesus, I thank you for those that raise their hand. Maybe you're at some Starbucks or you're at the gym and you're on the treadmill with your earbuds in. Even right there, just underneath your breath, you can say, God, that's me. So here's the next step. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I am going to have the privilege of my lifetime to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of commitment to Jesus. It's a prayer of confession. That's how Romans 10:9 in the Bible describes it. You're confessing out loud that Jesus, you're God, you're real. I believe in you. And God promises that if you'll say this prayer after me in a moment and believe it in your heart, that you can take it to the bank. You can know that you know that you know that you will be saved. No one can tell you differently. If you'll say this out loud and believe it in your heart. So those that raise their hand in this room and those that may be listening online and also the Christ followers in the room as support because we're family, I'm gonna ask each of you to say this prayer out loud and more than that, mean it with your heart. Say this, dear Jesus,
I thank you
for loving me.
So much that
you came to this earth.
You
died on the cross. And you rose from the dead. Jesus, I believe in you. And I put my trust
in
your hands. Forgive me
of every sin,
of every mistake. Make me brand new. Jesus, I tell you now, and I confess with my mouth that you are real and you are my God.
Help me
to do my best to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can somebody get rowdy in God's house for those that has committed their lives to Jesus? Would you stand to your feet if you're able to all across the room? For those that just committed your life to Jesus for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, these are actually new because we got rid of all the other ones. We had handed them all out. It's a pretty incredible thing. So we've got these Start Bible kits. I got one in my hand. There's a table in the back. The table is not manned. You will not get interrogated. So we just encourage you to grab one of these. Because maybe you wonder, what's my next step? Right here. This is the Gospel of John, one of the 66 books in the Bible. And the Gospel of John is a great place to start in God's Word. You can read one chapter a day. Scientists actually tell us, I find this fascinating, that it takes 21 days to form a habit. So if you read one chapter of John, the Gospel of John in the Bible a day, at the end of 21 days, the end of the book of John, you would have built an incredible habit. Way better than biting your nails, way better than twisting your hair, way better than anything else that we can do, like an incredible habit. So I just encourage you, there's a letter in there, a connection card to pick this up, no questions asked in the back. Besides that, myself and a few others will be down here at the front. If you want prayer for anything that we talked about today or just something that's going on in your world, I want you to know that we'll stay as long as we need to pray with you, to seek God on your behalf. We love you so much. So glad that you're here. You are officially dismissed. We'll see you next week. God bless.